Well, I appreciate the beautiful songs tonight. Thankful to be back in the house of the Lord, and I'm glad for all of you that have come. I want to welcome our visitors tonight. We are very thankful to have you with us, and we appreciate you coming to help us in this revival meeting with your presence and your prayers and testimonies. And thank the Lord for having been with us in these services, for blessing us when we meet here in the evening and blessing us in the morning when we meet for our prayer services. I'm just thankful to have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And trust that He will meet with us again tonight. I've been trying to continue to pray, as I'm sure you have, that those who are lost will continue to seek the Lord until they come to know Him as their Savior. I want to share some scripture. I want to revisit some scripture that I spoke about some Wednesday night when we held our service down in the basement. If you want to read with me this evening, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read beginning with verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And I'm going to stop reading there, having read through the 41st verse of that chapter for a scripture reading tonight. I want to ask for your prayers. I want you to pray tonight for the Word of God, that it will have its free course. You know, I want you to pray that reality will set up in our minds and in the hearts and minds of those who are here that are not saved. I don't want to, as I share with you tonight the things that the Lord has placed up on my heart, I don't want to just bring a sermon before you this evening because we've reached that point in the service where it's time for the preaching. I want to share with you tonight reality. I want you to understand the reality of the things that we find written here in this 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to just simply use a title tonight for the message, and that being Heaven and Hell. I want to speak about heaven, and I want to speak about hell and the things that the Scriptures, some of the things that the Scriptures tell us about them. Now, I cannot say this for certain, but I believe that I can say this and we can be 99% sure. We can be fairly certain about this. It's very, it's a great likelihood anyway. But, you know, we have been gathered here throughout these revival services. You know, there's been somewhat of a variance from night to night as to who has been here. But the people that have met here, have assembled here throughout this revival effort this week and the congregation that meets here from week to week, it's not going to be very long until none of us will be living on the earth anymore. You know, a generation of people comes and goes in a hurry. And so as I started to say a moment ago, I know that I can't say this for certain, but I believe it's very likely. And even though there are some very young children here tonight, it's extremely likely that 100 years from now, nobody that's here tonight or nobody that has been attending these revival services this week will be living on the earth any longer. Will be in eternity. If the Lord has not come yet, if he has extended time and delayed his coming, probably for most of us, our bodies will be resting in the earth. But for all of us, our souls will have entered into eternity. And when that happens, I assure you that when that time has come to pass and we have left this world and entered eternity, that we will be dwelling forever in one of these places. We will either be living and dwelling in heaven for all of eternity or in hell for all of eternity. You're going to be one place or the other depending upon whether or not you are prepared. Now, the Bible tells us here in the things that are mentioned concerning heaven and hell, the Bible tells us here that both of these places were prepared by God for a distinct habitation. The place that we know as heaven, the Bible tells us here that when this day comes, when the Lord comes again and gathers all nations before him and begins to separate those who are his from those who are not his, when he places his children there on the right hand, he's going to say, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And so God prepared heaven for his children, for those who would come to him, repenting of their sins and trusting him for salvation. He prepared a place for us, a great heavenly kingdom. We call it oftentimes heaven. He also said that the other place that he spoke about here, that other eternal abode, that place of everlasting fire, is a place that God also prepared, and he prepared that for the habitation, for the eternal habitation of the devil and his angels. But we also know that the Bible teaches us, as it does here in this 25th chapter of Matthew, that those who leave the world unprepared, those who leave the world lost and in their sin, God will one day set them on the left hand and say unto them, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, there's a great contrast between these places. And I want to speak about some of that tonight. But heaven is a wonderful place. I mean, it's a beautiful place. From what little we are able to know about it in the scriptures, The Bible tells us enough to know that it's a marvelous place. And I am glad that I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful to God that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I have a home in heaven when this life has come to an end. You know, I'm glad that God made a way for us to be able to be saved and to know that heaven is our eternal home. I mean, aren't you glad that you know that? To me, one of the saddest religious concepts that there is to be living your life and doing this and doing that and going to church and reading your Bible and taking communion and all of these things that you do, hoping that you will be good enough to get to heaven, hoping that one day when you stand before God in judgment, that He's going to say, okay, you've done enough. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, He's never going to say that for anybody. There's not enough that a person could do in order to gain entrance into heaven. We must be saved by God's grace. We must be prepared. We must be prepared if we're going to live in that home that God has prepared for His people. If you're here tonight, listen. If you're here tonight, and God has already brought you to the realization that you're lost and without God, you're already on your way to hell. And you don't have to do anything else to get there. Just remain in your lost condition, and that's exactly where you'll end up. But if you want to be saved, if you want to make heaven your home, then you're going to have to meet the Lord's conditions. You're going to have to repent of your sins, and you're going to have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and be saved if you want to dwell in heaven when this life has come to an end. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, some of my favorite verses in the Scriptures, some very, very assuring words that the Apostle Paul spoke, and we find recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "For we know." Now listen, there are people in the world today, and there have been for many years, they will just simply and emphatically say, you cannot know if you've been saved. I'm telling you, the Scriptures kill that time and time and time again. The Apostle Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." We know. We know. Brother Strode was singing earlier this morning at the prayer meeting. He was leading that song, "I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Well, that's a good old song. I believe it's true. We know. What was Paul saying? He was just simply saying, we know. We that have been saved, we know that when this life is dissolved, we know that when this life comes to an end, we have a home in heaven with God where we will spend eternity with Him. We're not hoping for that. We're not guessing about that. We know that it's coming. He also wrote to the Colossians. You know, we just too often, we get caught up in all this temporal mess. He wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to be looking to heaven, don't we? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians concerning those who are saved, and he said, our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned according to his glorious body. I don't know how you're feeling tonight, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking for a great change. I'm looking for a great change to take place. The body that I have now is wearing out. And one day it will be worn out. But the Bible teaches me that God will give us a new one, a glorious one. It does not yet appear to us what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a change. What a change is coming for us, folks. I mean, listen, sometimes we concern ourselves about things, and it's natural, sure, we do, but sometimes I was thinking about this today. Sometimes for our brothers and our sisters in the Lord, our family members, those who have been saved by the grace of God, oftentimes even when they are sick, we're very concerned about them, and we're praying for them that God will help them, that God will touch them, and if it could be his will, that he might even grant them healing of the body. But listen, no matter what God chooses to do with us, the very moment that a child of God draws their last breath, they really begin to live. That's, I'll tell you what, that'll be a great moment for us, for all of us. You can pray for me all you want, but I'm telling you what, when God gets ready for me to go, I'm ready to go. The old account has been settled, and I have some great things waiting. I've got heaven waiting. I know what Paul was writing about. I know exactly what Paul was saying, because along the way I've experienced it. I know what Paul meant when he said, for in this, that is in this earthly tabernacle, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Don't you know that the children of God, from time to time, we get homesick. We begin to think about everything that's waiting, and you begin to groan. I'll tell you what, that inward man that's saved, that's where it wants to be. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm in a strait betwixt two. You ever been in that strait? I'm in a strait betwixt two. What is that strait? I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is just a little bit better. No, Paul said it's far better. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. But he realized that there was a necessity of him to stay and to labor as long as God had need of him, that he might help others to find their way. But listen, the bottom line is, for those of us who are saved, we've gathered here together this week so far in this revival, and we've had a good time in the Lord, haven't we? We've had a good time in feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit of God among us. We share a kindred spirit. You know, when somebody begins to get up and testify about how that God had convicted them of their sins and made them to realize that they were a sinner, and they felt condemned in that, and they found them a place, and they begin to pour their soul out to God. They begin to pray to God and cry out to Him to save their soul. And then suddenly they felt that burden taken from them, and God giving them peace and letting them know that they were saved. Listen, when I hear an experience like that, I can relate to it. I've heard people say before, I've been in the presence of people before, when they say, yeah, I went up front and I accepted Jesus. And that was all there is to it. I can't relate to that. It's not what happened to me. I'm glad that I know that I've been saved. Heaven is real. And as I said, we've had a great time being here together. We've had a great time. You know what? These revival services have been such that I'm just chomping at the bits to get back. I mean, I can't wait to get back to church and to feel the presence of God and to be with all of you and to hear His word preached and to hear people lift up their happy voices in song and praise Him. I love to be in the assembly of saints, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to a better meeting. And one of these days, those of us that are children of God that have gathered here this week, we're going to gather together one day beyond this world. I tell you, we are. We're going to get together in a better place. We're going to get together in the place that the Bible tells us that God prepared for His people. And when we get there, there's never going to be a time when we're going to say, well, maybe it's time to have the benediction and go home. We're going to be home. We're going to be home. Heaven is a beautiful place, folks. And honestly, we can't imagine, really, what it's really like. Our eyes haven't seen. Our ears haven't heard. It hasn't entered into our hearts yet, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, for His people. I want to share with you some of the vast differences between these two places. I want to say, first of all, that there is no eternal place of abode in between them. You just can't find it in God's Word. It's just not there. There may be people that believe there is, but I'm telling you, it's been made up in the minds of men. God's Word teaches us that there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. And that's all. That's all. Think about that. All of us are eternal bound people. We're going. We're leaving time one day and we're going into eternity, and we're going to be dwelling there in eternity. If you've been saved, if you were saved when you took your last breath, you'll be with God. If you weren't, you'll be in hell. And that's just, I don't know how to make it any plainer. God's Word makes it that plain, doesn't it? It's either heaven or hell. The Bible tells us that in heaven, There is no rest. No rest. In the 14th chapter of Revelation, in the 11th verse, it talks about the fact that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and that there is no rest there day or night. Heaven, on the other hand, is a place of eternal rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Heaven is a place where we will rest forever. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the eternal dwelling place of those who do not worship the beast nor his image. You can find that recorded in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. A dwelling place, an eternal dwelling place for those who have not worshiped the beast nor his image. On the other hand, the 14th chapter of Revelation tells us about hell being the eternal dwelling place of those who have done that, of those who have worshiped the beast and his image. The devil, the Bible tells us in the 12th chapter of Revelation, that the devil was cast out of heaven. The Bible tells us in the 20th chapter of Revelation that he will one day be cast into hell. You see, if you die lost, you're not only going to have to spend eternity with others who died lost, you're going to have to spend eternity in the place where the devil is going to be. The Bible tells us that he will be cast into that lake of fire. The Bible tells us that hell, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the Bible tells us that hell is a place of outer darkness. Now, I know that, oftentimes the way that we look at fire, when we light a fire, oftentimes the way that we think about fire is we think of something burning that puts off a wonderful glow and even gives some light. But obviously, the hell of fire is not like that, is it? Because the Bible tells us about a place where there's great fire burning, but yet it's a place of outer darkness where a black flame rolls. A flame that don't give any light like we think about it. It's a place of outer darkness. But listen, heaven is a place where the Bible says the glory of God just lights it up. There is no darkness there. You know, darkness, oftentimes when we read about darkness in the Scriptures, it speaks about darkness in reference to sin. You know, lost in sin, you're in darkness. And in heaven, there won't be any sin. In heaven, there won't be anything enter into that place that defiles in any way. We'll be living in a place that's free from sin. We won't know the corruption of sin around us. Isn't that something to look forward to? That sin won't disrupt us the way that it does in this world. But heaven is not a place of darkness. It's a place of eternal light. The Bible tells us that the glory of God lights it, and that the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, God, when he made the world, When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. One of the first things that he did was he made light. And then we read about how that God made the light of the sun. And he made the light of the moon and the stars. And he set them in their place. And he set the sun in its place, which is, from everything I've been told, somewhere around 93 million miles away from the earth. He set the sun in its place to give light upon the earth in the daytime. And he set the moon and the stars to give light upon the earth at night. But the Bible tells me that the place where I'm going won't have any need of those things. It won't have any need of the S-U-N, because the S-O-N will light it up forever. The Lamb, Jesus, he is the light of that place. When people were on the earth, there were times when they heard God speak out in great favor concerning his son. You know, when Jesus was baptized, when he came up out of the water, there came a voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When he went up and took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain and was transfigured before them, they heard a voice, as the Apostle Peter said, from the excellent glory that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There were people in the presence of Jesus while he was on the earth that experienced some wonderful things. But listen, once we get to heaven, we're going to see him lighting that place up. I mean, we're going to see him shining so brightly in all of his glory and splendor that it will dispel all darkness, and there won't be any darkness in that land at all. The Bible talks about also in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, it talks about hell as a place of weeping. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. But you know, the 21st chapter of Revelation tells us that heaven is a place where there won't be any weeping, because God will have wiped all tears from our eyes. I'm telling you, people in hell suffer torments. It's a place of torment. It's a place of anguish. It's a place of pain. It's a place where people can't find any rest. It's a place where they suffer and suffer. Heaven is a place where those that dwell there, God will have wiped all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no such thing as sorrow. There'll be no such thing as death. There'll be no more crying. There will be no more pain. Can you imagine such a thing? No pain? No physical pain? No emotional pain? Why, we've known pain all of our life, haven't we? We've known pain as far back as we can remember into our childhood. We've known pain in one form or another. Either pain, I bet Sister Becky's in pain tonight from that cut. We've known pain. We've known anguish of heart. We've known sorrow. How many of you, at least, especially those that have reached adulthood, how many of you haven't had something happen to you in this life that just broke your heart? We all have, haven't we? But in heaven, those things will have passed away, and they'll be remembered no more. Those former things will have passed away to no more be remembered. those in hell will weep and wail for all of eternity. All of eternity. You know, the rich man that we read about in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke that said to Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Now, I agree with what my brother said the other night. Brother Chris made mention of this the other night, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. He said, that's not a parable. I agree. I believe there really was a rich man that lived during Old Testament times that died, that Jesus was talking about him dying and going to hell. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he begged for a little bit of water because he said, I'm tormented in these flames, and he's still tormented in those flames. He hasn't, from the time that Jesus was on earth and told that account, that rich man is still there being tortured, and he's never gotten any mercy, and he's never got any, he's never had anything to take away his torment. Heaven is a place where those eternal flames are never extinguished. Heaven's a place where they were never lit. The only fire, really, I suppose, the only fire that we'll see in heaven is that fire in the eyes of Jesus. You know, John described him when he saw him as having that great fire in his eyes. We won't be suffering any tormenting fire there. Hell, worst of all, in my estimation, hell is a place where those that dwell there will never again know the presence of God. He just won't be there. God won't be there. His mercy won't be there. His grace will not be there. His love will not be there. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Listen, no matter what has happened to me in this life, I've been able to run to God for his help. God won't offer his help. He won't offer his grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness to those in hell. They'll never know any of it. It's a place where you will be forever separated from God and all his wonderful attributes. Heaven, on the other hand, is a place where for those that dwell there will gather around his throne and sing and praise and shout for all eternity. Right there in the presence of the Almighty will be forever. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, when we get to heaven, and I know that many of you have already had a lot of people that you knew and loved in this world that were saved while they passed the time of their sojourn here on the earth. They were saved, and they've gone to be with God already. And boy, I'll tell you what, when we get back together, we're just going to love being with each other. We're going to be so happy to be together. You know what? People in hell don't even want to be around the other people. There's no fellowship there. There's no companionship there. There's nothing but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They don't even want to be with each other, but yet they're together for eternity. Isn't that awful? It'd be bad enough, to have to be around somebody here on earth for just a little time that you didn't want to be around, but to have to be with somebody for all eternity and just not have any desire to be together. But that's what hell will be like. And I know that I haven't even scratched the surface of what heaven and hell will really be like. I don't have enough words to tell you how sweet heaven is. I don't have enough words to tell you how awful that hell is. But I can tell you this by the authority of God's word that they're both real. They're both real. They're places that God has prepared, and the saved will inhabit heaven, and the lost will have to go to hell and stay there for all eternity. So I'm going to ask Brother Strode to sing. And as we get ready to stand and sing, I'm going to ask you this tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, because really, truly, it'll be your choice. Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to be saved and spend forever in that wonderful place that God has prepared for all the saved? Or do you want to just continue pushing God away, continue in your lost condition until hell becomes your eternal home? Think about it while we stand and sing.